if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is, and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard, Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time.
All right, guys, now that we've got the housekeeping out of the way, this is Bill Carnes reporting live. I'm doing interviews throughout the day. Stay tuned from SHOT Show 2010 Live right here in Las Vegas.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
right, folks, welcome back from the break. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. I'm here with Preston Bunker of Barnes Bullets here live at the SHOT Show. Preston, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I am a huge fan of Barnes Bullets. I've loaded everything from .22 caliber up to .416 Remington Magnum. And you guys have always really been a leader in the industry when it comes to bullet design and technology, even going green. I mean, we're standing here at the SHOT Show, and you have some bullets that are called the, where are they, the green bullets. You got the varmint grenades, I'm looking at busters, the solids. You've actually got some of these green bullet boxes around here. Tell us a little bit about what Barnes Bullets is doing lately.
Lately, we're not purposely going green, but it happens that way, that we've got quite a few green bullets. A lot of the Californians like it with a lead-free market. A lot of our bullets, they're designed, the X-Bullet, all-copper bullet, was designed back in 1989 by Randy Brooks, the owner of the company, and since then we've ran with it. They've been lead-free since then, and they've proven their performance. They're excellent performing bullets on game, hunting. Recently we've been in the tactical law enforcement market with a lot of, they require lead-free bullets in a lot of areas, so we've gotten into that.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I ordered up and loaded some 165 grain 308s and some 200 grain 308s in your lead-free all-copper TSX, as well as some of those the bullets for the 30-30 that can load up that are all copper-free, especially if I go to California to go hunting, 30-30 especially for like pig hunting in the bush. So I've enjoyed that. Now, one of the things that you guys have, you have the banded solid bullets. Now, is that machined brass?
Yeah, it's machined brass. It's a copper, it's a brass, which is basically it's an alloy that we get out of a rod and we turn it on a machine. So there's no expansion, no deformation. A lot of times you can shoot them and they look the exact same as they came out, going through thick bone, Cape Buffalo, elephant, any of the big dangerous game. So.
Yeah, and a big appetite.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about some of the other things that Barnes Bullets has coming down the pike. What are you guys working on?
Right now we just came out with some heavy for caliber handgun, large handgun bullets called the Barnes Busters. They'll be good for a lot of the bigger dangerous game, grizzly, large boars, personal protection type stuff when you're out hunting and you come across a grizzly bear.
So you're talking like if you have a handgun as a backup?
Yeah, as a backup. A lot of guides will carry it as a backup. There's also one available for the .45-70 guide gun. So.
Yeah, I carry a 10mm revolver with heavy, big-ass bullets, the best I can get. If I get a hand load of my hand load, I'm for exactly that. If something comes up and the rifle goes down or, God forbid, I miss.
Yeah, and that's a good bullet. I mean, for personal protection or whatnot, our bullets are made of solid copper. Our XPB bullets, the handgun bullets you're talking about, they open to twice their diameter, retain all their weight. So on impact, they're not going to lose, break apart and lose any weight. They're going to retain all that weight and excellent for penetration of larger animals or hitting hard bone or something like that. So.
Now, you folks manufacture just the bullets. You do not manufacture loaded ammunition, but I know that there are some companies out there that load your bullets in their manufactured ammunition. What's on the market?
Yeah, we've got several companies that load our bullet in their as loaded ammunition. We've got basically any of the common calibers and cartridges out there, several different weights. We've got our TSX along with our tipped bullets, our MPGs, that are available to the general public to buy as loaded ammo. Some of the companies are ICC, International Cartridge Company, Weatherby, Federal, Corban. So several of them out there load our bullet and have great success with it.
And so you're talking about all top-name companies that are coming to you for their bullets, and some of these companies make their own bullets too, isn't that correct?
Yeah, yep, some of them make their own, but they also realize that we have a premium hunting bullet. Several different lines of premium hunting bullets, so they definitely love to load our bullet. They sell. They work.
So, Preston, tell me a little bit about the history. I mean, how long has Barnes Bullets been in existence? You guys are in American Fork, Utah, I know. So tell me how long you've been in business. Have you expanded over the years? Tell us a little bit about the history of your company.
Yeah, we've been in American Fork for a while, but we actually moved to Mona, Utah about, last April of 2009. Into a huge 75,000 square foot new facility with new shooting ranges, underground tunnels that are 25-yard, 100-yard, and 300-yard. We're looking to expand into a 600-yard tunnel. History of Barnes, it was started back in early 1930s, by Fred Barnes, who owned it for several years, sold to a couple guys in Colorado who only owned it for a few years. Randy and Connie Brooks took over in 1976 and have owned it ever since. They've pretty much built it to what it is as far as the X-Bullet. That was Randy's idea, and it came out in 1989. He was on a grizzly bear hunt and realized that he needed a bullet that actually penetrated and retained its weight. So he came out with the X-Bullet, went back and designed it, and it's been a huge, very successful, extremely well-performing bullet for game, and that's what we have today. So we continue to improve it.
You know, what I'm impressed with, personally, from the stuff that I hand load, and I don't really reload much. I usually use new components for most of the stuff, but that X-Bullet is supremely accurate over a lot of the stuff that I've shot.
Yeah, it's true, and we've even, like I said, we improve them even today. A few years ago, we started putting the cantilever rings around our bullets, our X-Bullets, which has reduced the pressures, but also increases and improves the accuracy of the bullet. So a lot of people are starting to use them in some of their target competitions, and we don't claim to be a match bullet company, but they're proving to compete. So very, very well-rounded bullet.
Yeah, you can't beat that when you get the added benefit of it's going to kill whatever you shoot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're told that it's going to be accurate and on target, too. I mean, that's what a good bullet's all about. Can people order directly from Barnes? And if not, where are the good outlets to order?
We do encourage people to order through our distributors and dealers. That's where the main bulk of it is. Midway USA, Cabela's, Sportsman Warehouse, Bass Pro Shop, a lot of the major ones, and then our website, www.barnesbullets.com, has a list of local dealers. If people are, nationwide, also into Canada, has a list of local dealers they can get in contact with.
So all the hosers up north can also load your stuff?
Yeah, all the hosers up north, eh? you can order directly from us if you can't find what you need. We can get you sent out any bullet weight, whatever you need. So.
Great. Anything to add before we close this out, Preston?
No, just shoot Barnes bullets. They work, they perform. It's actually the least expensive component of your hunt, typically. So it's even though they're you want to make sure the bullet works. So, yeah, great bullet.
Absolutely. All right, Preston, thanks a bunch. Folks, stay tuned. There's more to come right here on 2A Radio.
All right, folks, there's so many great retailers here offering so many different great products and services and everything going on. As a matter of fact, right off over here, I see the U.S. Army Marksmanship Unit, and we're going to head over there and talk with these guys a little bit and find out a little bit about the Marksmanship Unit, why they're around, what they're doing, and talk with a couple of the NCOs in the unit here.
All right, this is Bill Carnes. I am standing here at the United States Army Marksmanship Unit here at the 2010 SHOT Show, and I am standing here with Army veteran Kevin Kierman. And Kevin, tell me your rank again.
Sergeant First Class, sir.
Okay, so you're assigned with the Marksmanship Unit as a recruiter, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm the accession liaison.
And I'm also standing here with one of the trigger guys, Travis Tomasi, right?
Right, that's right, correct.
Good Italian name. And what's your job here at the unit? How long have you been in?
I've been in coming up on 7 years, and I'm on the action shooting team. I shoot USPSA and IPSC.
So mostly handgun stuff?
That's right, all handgun stuff.
Great. All right. Well, let's start, Sergeant First Class,
yes,
with you. Tell us a little bit about the Marksmanship Unit and your goals.
The Marksmanship Unit, history is 1956. President Eisenhower developed it, or he put it into existence.
Now, wait, was he a rifleman?
No, he wanted to make sure that our soldiers were the best in the world.
Fantastic. I'm going to go to Wikipedia and see what this guy's scores were. All right, so carry on.
And, like I said, he developed the Marksmanship Unit, and it was developed mostly to have the best marksmen, but also to pass what they know down in train-the-trainer type of activities. And so that's part of the mission that we have. We are part of the Accessions Command, U.S. Army Accessions Command, which is the major command over recruiting command. We have all enlisted, the officers, all the officers and so ROTC, and basically we are in that command, so we are the face of the Army. We are an asset for the Accessions Command for recruiting purposes.
You're the Thunderbirds for the Triggermen.
Yes, yes, and we're also one of our units within the Accessions Command is the Golden Knights, the parachute team. So we're that type of a organization, but where Golden Knights, they parachute, we shoot.
Fantastic. All right, so let's talk to one of the trigger guys here. Now, you, Kevin, you are a staff sergeant, right? How long have you been in?
Yes, I've been in about 7 years.
Okay, now, staff sergeant, at
E6.
E6. Oh, well, good job. You're climbing the ranks. How long have you been with the unit?
I've actually been in the unit for my entire Army career. I was recruited to come in and to shoot for the Army, and it's been a great opportunity.
What a cakewalk of a job, man. That's awesome. Folks, stick around through the break. We'll be back with more interviews at 2010 SHOT Show coming up next. This is your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, folks, welcome back from the break. I am standing here with one of the trigger guys, Travis Tomasi, with the United States Army Marksmanship Unit. Now, what's your history to get recruited in to shoot for a living?
Well, actually, I was shooting on the professional circuit for probably 12 years or so before I was actually hired. I was winning some major matches, and that's the way the USAMU was able to recognize me, and I was fortunate enough a slot became available and joined the team.
Okay, so any of the listeners out there that are top shooters, they might be able to catch some sort of cool gig like this if they really shine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and so you have to be willing to enlist in the Army and serve your country as well.
Fantastic. Now, a question for you here. The gear that you use at the matches, who owns it, you or the Army?
A little bit of both. Some of my personal gear, like my holster and stuff like that, is stuff that I've had for a long time. But the Army builds and provides everything. The weapons, the magazines, the ammo, the range facility to train, and so it's a little bit of both.
Okay, so Todd, what I'm hearing from Travis here is that if you want to be a top-notch gunsmith, you might have a job in the Army as well.
Yes, sir. We do have some of the best gunsmiths in the world, one of the best facilities, and these guys develop and make what's already developed to make it to where these shooters have the best equipment to work with.
That sounds good. Now, back to you, Travis. When it comes to the gear that's being used, do you guys use custom gear, or is it customized already out there on the market gear?
A lot of it is customized gear that's already on the market, but we also use Army stuff that's in inventory, like the M9, the Beretta M9.
What a piece of junk. In my opinion, I used to contract with the Army, but my God. You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, it works well for us, though. Our custom firearm shop gets it going really well. And
do they turn it into a Glock?
Give them the Glock.
Okay, I'm a huge 1911 fan. Do you guys get down with the 1911?
Yeah, I shoot pretty much predominantly all 1911.
That's my man.
Yeah, I love the 1911.
As do I. Okay.
Excellent. You have good taste.
So how about you, Top? Do you actually get a pack heat when you're traveling around with these guys?
No, I have not been in competition, so I shoot off my mouth mostly.
But you don't get to carry a gun for maybe really helping to enhance the recruiting. I want you to sign on a dotted line, and yes, this is an M9.
No, as a recruiter, they never gave me any guns. My computer was the weapon of choice.
Yeah, and that proves to be a more effective weapon in this day and age, right?
Yes, sir.
So what sort of competitions do you guys go to, and who do you shoot against?
First of all, who we shoot against, not only other military, but also civilians, professional civilians, people that do this for a living. and we shoot all, we have about 6 or 7 different disciplines that the unit represents. I'm in action shooting, which is USPSA, IPSC. And there's also international rifle, international pistol, service rifle, service pistol, and shotgun. So we represent pretty much all the shooting disciplines.
I know Lanny Basham came for your ranks.
That's right, he did. That's right, and his son as well.
Yes, he did. And so that gives you an idea, guys, right there. Some of you, you're probably familiar. I've talked plenty about Lanny Basham and all of his different great things that he does, and he's got a shooting school down in Texas. Have you, by chance, been to a shooting school?
I haven't. That's completely outside of my box, completely different discipline.
It is. So where have you gone to train?
I do the training pretty much at this point.
Okay, so yeah. I'm talking to the guy that knows what he's talking about, not the guy that needs to be learning much.
Sure.
It's all right, man. You can be cocky. You haven't heard my show before. You can have a little attitude here.
Yeah, that's me.
All right. Now, do you ever partake in long gun shooting, or are you just a handgun guy?
The action shooting team also represents 3-gun competition, or multi-gun. So we do the rifle, shotgun, and pistol, all in action scenarios. Tactical type of matches. So we also do rifle and shotgun.
Okay, so we established you as a 1911 for the handgun stuff. What are your other two long guns?
Good old M16, variants of the AR. For the shotgun, we have the Benelli.
Now, which version of the Benelli?
The Super 90.
Okay, good gun.
Yep, and also the FN.
Another good gun.
Yes, works really well for us.
All right, so you guys aren't tooling around with the garbage.
We really are. We've got the best equipment, and that's one of the reasons why we're winning pretty much everything we shoot.
Okay, now, quite honestly, who spanks who in these shooting competitions more often than not between the Army and the Marine Corps?
The Army dominates. Absolutely.
Okay, because you know I'm going to stop by the Marines and ask them the same question.
Please do.
They'll have to say the Army.
You know, will they? Now, tell me, how long have you been assigned with recruiting for the marksmanship unit?
I've been here a little over a year.
Okay, and what have you done? How long have you been and what have you done up to this point in your career?
Oh, I started off as a radar for the field artillery back in 92. And
how's your hearing?
It's good. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was not close to them. I was away.
Okay, sounds good. So you weren't calling the ball?
No.
All right.
Came out on recruiting duty in 99 and did that for about 9 years and came to the Army Marksmanship Unit. And this is definitely a good position to be in.
Is this your best assignment in your career so far?
Yes, sir.
How many years you got left until you decide to call it good?
I hit 20 in about 2.5.
Wow. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Roger.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Any closing comments you got, Travis?
Not at all.
Just bring it on, Marine Corps, and all you other losers?
Sure, that would be good, yeah.
All right. Guys, thanks very much. I appreciate it, folks. Stick around through the break. We'll be back with more interviews at 2010 SHOT Show coming up next. This is your host, Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Hi guys, welcome back. We're back here at the SHOT Show 2010 at the Hodgdon booth with none other than Chris Hodgdon. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. My feet don't hurt too bad. How about you? You've been standing all day.
I'm getting there.
You know, we actually have places you can get your feet rubbed in Vegas.
You can have just about everything rubbed here in Vegas.
As a matter of fact, you can. So, Chris Hodgdon, tell me how your name relates to the company.
I'm the grandson of the founder, Bruce Hodgdon, and my grandfather, Bruce, started the company in 1947. He started selling surplus military gunpowder back in that time after World War II. And back then, there was a needed product that was less expensive than the newly manufactured powder. So he really had a unique product that was available in big quantities with military surplus at a reasonable cost. And so what he did is he started selling government surplus powders, $48.95 as a matter of fact, that was left over from the war at pennies on the dollar, and he sold a lot of it in large quantities through mail order. And throughout the years, we skipped ahead to the 50s. He did this at a part-time job at first, and then he started getting into the business. He went full-time. My grandmother was the bookkeeper, and both my uncle and my father, Bob Hodgson, my uncle's J.D. Hodgson, they did all the grunt work. And throughout the 50s, they sold still a lot of mail order. They sold $48.95 and also $48.31 through those years, and 100-pound kegs, and they sold primers.
Now, I got to tell you, if I could buy a 100-pound keg at $48.95, I'd be on it.
Well, it's just times have changed a lot. Back then, they had 100-pound kegs, and they sold 5,000 primers for $30.
So what weighed more, that or a keg of Budweiser? I mean, how do we... So I got to tell you, Hodgson's my personal favorite powder. If I can't load it with $48.95 or Varget, I just simply don't load it.
Well, you know, those powders are so versatile, and they cover such a wide variety of cartridges, and really, those two powders would do everything, like you said.
Now, I've also done the 4831SC. Tell me the difference between 4831 and 4831SC. Do you know that?
H4831 is the standard long cut, and there's a lot of old-timers that have their set loads, and they just don't want to change, which is great. That's fine. But the H4831SC stands for short cut, and you'll be able to get more in the case, about 5% more in the case than you would with the standard 4831 due to the length of the kernel. So basically, the SC stands for short cut, and so it's going to go through your measure a lot easier.
It sounds like we're talking about long cut and short cut chewing tobacco.
That's exactly right on.
Okay,
right.
So I got it now. So tell me, does Hodgson actually make the powder, or do you guys have your formula? Do you develop the formulas and have other companies actually manufacture it for you? How does it work?
Yes, it's no secret that Hodgson really is a marketer, and we buy from different vendors throughout the world. We buy from a vendor out of Florida, out of Australia, and out of Canada. Both the Florida and the Canadian manufacturers are owned by General Dynamics, which is an American-owned company.
Fantastic company.
Yeah, yes, they are. And they do a lot of things for the U.S. military. And ADI is the French conglomerate, owned by Thales is the name of the company. And they also do a lot of military work for the U.S. Army. And they make a lot of our powders. They make small arms, ammunition, primers, and that sort of thing.
Okay. So do you guys still hold any contracts with the U.S. military? Do you still sell $48.95 for any of the things that are loaded with the military?
Well, we sell powders to some special forces. We're such a niche company that most of our customers are actually consumers like you and I, hand loaders, rifle, pistol, shot shell reloaders.
Now, do you actually load, Chris?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what do you shoot?
I shoot a 270 short mag quite a bit. I enjoy a 30-06. I've got a 22 Hornet. So I've got, I also have a 32 mm short, which is a Wildcat that I enjoy shooting quite a bit. I shoot in Schützen, which is a sport that came about in the early 1900s. And I do that on my off time sometimes. I also load quite a bit of 380. And I do a lot of muzzle loading. So I do a lot of different shooting.
What's your powder?
What's my favorite powder?
What's your powder?
Retumbo.
Retumbo. What is Retumbo?
Retumbo is an absolutely superb powder. It's a little slower than H1000, but faster than 50 BMG. And I use it in my 270 short mag with 130, 140 grain bullets. I took it to Africa, and I shot every plains game that you can imagine with it. It's just attack-driving, really consistent grain powder. And I've really enjoyed shooting it in a variety of other cartridges. I just now started loading our new brand new powder called IMR 8208 XBR. 8208 XBR is a wonderful 22 caliber varmint and bench rest powder.
Now, hold on. I just have been talking recently on the show about loading up for my 22-250. Maybe I should look at that powder for going killing some of these little rat bastards out in the plains.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The 22-250 is excellent there. What is so neat What the unique feature on it is that it will hold temperatures from minus 45 to 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
Totally unnecessary for me, man. I am a fair weather shooter.
Well, I mean, regardless of where you live in the country, really, and if you live in the extreme cold regions of the country, or if you're out in the desert, it's not going to change when you load it at 70 degrees and you go out in the desert and it's 130, it won't change your point of impact. That's what's so unique about it.
Now, you guys developed that formula?
Yes, we did.
Okay, now that's totally unique in the industry because everyone knows when you're out there, you're doing your load data, you've developed some loads, you're doing some sight in.
Right.
You don't leave your rounds in the sun to heat up when the other ones came out of the casing,
right,
and such.
And this will not affect it whatsoever, this powder. And Varget is a very good powder. H4895 is what we call our extreme powders. But this IMR8208 XBR takes it to another dimension, because it is so consistent across a wide variety of temperatures, altitudes. That's why.
So I can throw away all my old ballistic charts when it comes to barometric pressure and altitude, right?
That's exactly right. It will not change.
I might have me a new powder.
You know, it is excellent in the 223, like we talked about the 22-250. The 204 Ruger, we're getting excellent velocities at the 204 Ruger. It's a very popular cartridge. 6 PPC, 6 BR. The 308 light bullets, I've shot it in a 306 with light bullets, and it is superb.
I'm more of a heavy bullet guy in the 308, but let me ask you this. Is that an extruded powder, flake, ball, what is it?
It's an extruded powder, and it's a very small extruded powder. If you're familiar with H322, 4895 is also, it's got that smaller grain, and so it meters very nicely. It fills the case very nicely, especially in the 223 and also then 22-250. It fills the case really nice. So your consistency, your load-to-load consistency, your loads will change very, very little. So you don't have to tap on the side of the measure, you know, to get those exact to kernels. It's very, very consistent.
Sounds like some of the bench rest guys that still stick to the old 220 Swift or the new 223 WSSM might really dig that powder.
Oh, yeah, they do. Those guys, the 6 BR and the 6 PPC and the 22 BR and the 22 PPC are all clamoring for this powder because they load by volume. So they have to always tinker with the volumetric measure to get just the right velocities that they're looking for. And so they don't need to adjust that volumetric measure because of consistency.
Now, Chris, I'm calling you Chris. I'm such a Hodgson fan, I want to call you Mr. Hodgson, sir, and give you a salute.
No, no, don't call me Mr. Hodgson. That's for my dad, my granddad.
Okay. Now, my question is, you also sell, or I shouldn't say sell, but you publish on your site also IMR and Winchester powders. Tell me the relationship there.
Well, back in 2003, we acquired the IMR brand, and so we have incorporated that into our reloading manual and on-site. And then in 2005, we took over the Winchester brand of powders through a licensing agreement. So what we've done is we've combined all of their powder data, and we've reshot a lot of it. And so we've combined it all in one-to-one site. So if you're a fan of any of those three brands, you can go to our reloading data center. We're constantly updating that site almost daily with new cartridges, with new bullets, any kind of new component that comes out. We're generally updating it within a few short months.
You know, I was actually on it last night and again this morning.
Yeah, you can really find what you're looking for on that site. We have over 20,000 loads. Our entire library of data that we've shot over the years is there. So if you're looking for a particular rifle or pistol or shot shell loads, I mean, we have slug loads and heavy shot loads and non-toxic loads for shot shell. So whatever you're looking for, it's all there on that site.
I'm not sure if non-toxic is really that much fun anymore. I mean, you got to have some kind of danger in it, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so Chris, what we're talking about is a website, which is Hodgdon.com, Hodgdon.com, and you just go to the loading data area there?
The reloading data center, and it's right there on the front page, and it'll take you right to the site. So you can, when you go on the site, you can drill down by rifle, pistol, shot shell, obviously, but then you can pull up your cartridge, then you can pull up your bullet weight, and then you can print it off that way. If you have your loading set up downstairs or upstairs, whatever you got in your home, you can just print it off and run it off the latest data and go with it.
Yeah, trust me. I go on there on a regular basis. Probably not more than 3 or 4 weeks go by without me checking my loads to see if there's any new information on there. And it's funny because sometimes there'll be updated information from the last time I looked at it, something that might be better or a little bit more accurate load.
We pride ourselves in getting first. If a cartridge is introduced, we pride ourselves on being the first ones out with a large amount of data, because we really want to provide the most information we can, the most updated information we can to our customers out there. So if there's a question that you all might have, if you don't see it on our website, we can certainly help you with our customer service by calling us directly.
What's that number?
And it's 913-362-9455, and you can talk to one of our customer service representatives. I might even be on the phone with you. I'd be happy to help you if there's a unique question that you need to have answered.
Yeah, I'm not so sure you want to offer that, because I get a pretty big audience. You might have a couple thousand people calling you next week.
Just not tomorrow.
Just not tomorrow. Now, where are you out of?
We're in Overland Park, Kansas, right in the middle of the country, close to Kansas City.
Oh, okay. I actually went to college in Dodge City for a while and tied one on in Kansas City not long ago.
Well, congratulations.
You're into the Kansas City ribs, I take it.
That's exactly right.
All right, I got a place for you. You may have been there in the Westport District of Kansas City. Go down to a place called Stanford & Sons. Best deep-fried mozzarella sticks in the world.
I'm there. I'll take your word for it.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, I have to ask you something. I'm gonna put you on the spot with this. In the industry, is there a lot of camaraderie in the powder industry, or are you guys at it like cats and dogs, or is there some common ground?
No, I think we all are friends. Of course, we are competitors, but we get along with each other. Our industry really isn't a big industry compared to a lot of ones, and really, our industry is really a fun industry, because, you know, how much fun can you have with guns and shooting?
Interview would take too long.
Yeah. It's just part of our life, really, and it's our hobby, it's our passion. So a lot of us, we do get along just fine.
Okay, any competitors you want to talk a little smack about?
Well, you know.
I'll retract that.
Okay, that's okay.
What about, are there any particular bullet manufacturers that you like better than others when it comes to your powder or anything? I mean, what sort of things do you personally like to work with?
I like to try a variety of different bullets and brands, because I really want to try and find the best bullet for whatever my rifle or handgun likes at the time.
You and me both.
Yeah, you know, and I try different bullet weights and try different brands within that bullet weight just to see. It's kind of like cooking, and you're trying to put together a recipe to find the best outcome.
Now, are you like me? Once you find a fantastic outcome, you're almost disappointed because now you found it, and it's time to move on to something else?
That's exactly right. You try to find that. You want to go to a heavier bullet, for instance, for a bigger animal or whatever you want to do with it. But yeah, that's right. To find just the thrill of the chase. To start over, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
And once you have your set combination, you just don't want to go any further with it, because that is the perfect recipe, and you're not going to change for whatever reason. You know, like you were saying, the .48-95 and the Varget, that's all you want to go with, and that's really, that covers all the cartridges out there.
You know, I'll tell you something, Chris, and you'll be happy to hear about this. I ended up at an auction one time, and I bought a whole bunch of ammo, and it was 1973 surplus 308 or 7.62x51. And I went to tumble them because they had a little bit of cosmoline on them. I've heard this story on the show before. The necks were cracked. I had like, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 rounds. And the necks were cracked. I literally pulled the bullets out of all of these, minus 13 or 14 that I needed to use a bullet puller. And I kept all of the powder, all of the primers, all of the bullets. I had to hand load in a bunch of once fired, resized military brass stuff. And all of the research that I did told me it was Hodgson 4895 that were in those casings. So I loaded it like 4895, chronographed it, and everything that I basically tore apart and reloaded came right back to spec, in large part thanks to the powder.
Wow, that's a great testimony. You know, that's an excellent story of our hard work you know, to put together that consistency, and that it's carried on all these years later. And and really, powder really doesn't change over the years. This, the technology upgrades, we're constantly upgrading those, obviously, but the components around the powder usually do change, and so that's why we're always publishing new data out there to cover as wide of a spectrum as we can. That's why we show starting loads and maximum loads for worst case scenarios, you know, because those components around that powder do change, so you always want to be careful as you're working up a new load.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we're going to close this out. Chris Hodgson, thanks very much, and enjoy the 2010 SHOT Show. Anything else you want to close out with?
Bill, I appreciate you having me on today, and we just if you ever have any questions, Hodgson Powder is here to help you, and we have 56 different powders out there, and one of them for sure is going to be your special powder.
Fantastic. Chris, thanks again. Folks, stay tuned. More to come after the break. This is your host, Bill Carnes, closing out with Chris Hodgson of Hodgson Powders right here on 2A Radio.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. So here we are at SHOT Show 2010. This has been a great experience today. Had plenty of good interviews. The guys over at Barnes Bullets, I want to thank them a lot. Certainly the Army Marksmanship Unit. I haven't yet found the Marines to refute the Army's claim that they're the ones that are out there kicking all the ass. So we will soon see who actually holds the, who has the bread and the pudding on that one, and see who's really forthcoming on it. On top of that, Chris Hodgson at Hodgson Powders, man, what a great guy, great interview. I'm hoping to find a little bit more about some of the products that are around here. We've got some other interviews coming up with some of the people with some of the pro shooting foundations, NSSF, some of the other guys that are out there actually lobbying for gun rights. We're going to try and see if we can nail down from NSSF for tomorrow's show how they feel about the how the legislators around the country are trying to go after the ammunition that we have and forgetting about the guns. Because you know as well as I do, a car can't run on gasoline, and a gun is a useless tool without ammunition, such as the California ban on handgun ammunition, which will go into effect on, February 2011. We're going to try and find out what NSSF, who is kind of the lobbying body for a lot of the different manufacturers for ammunition, what they have to say about it, and really their view on how they're going to handle this. My view is that all of the, and again, it's a partial ban. It's one of these deals where you're only going to be allowed to buy 50 rounds per month come February 2011 for handgun rounds. You know, fingerprints, ID, filling out paperwork, all this BS. Supposed to be crime control, my butt. All it is it's gun control, and you guys know as well as I do, gun control is not about guns, it's about control. Fear your government that fears your guns. So they're trying to backdoor it, hamstring it in California by taking away the ammo. So I'm going to do my best to nail down the guys at NSSF and find out their views and their take on really what they believe they ought to do. Now, my view on this whole thing is that all of the manufacturers that make ammunition, make handgun ammunition, should, as of February 2011, band together and say, look, if you're going to ban all of us from having ammunition, Well, guess what? What we're going to do is we're just going to not sell ammunition anywhere in the state of California, and then that would force them to change the law in California. Guys, thanks very much for spending the day with me. Stay tuned for the Lendman News Hour and the Ernie Hancock Show coming up next.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.
I will not break. I will show.